Last week we began a short series on the life of Joseph. And we noticed there Joseph at home. But today we want to look at Joseph as things progress in his life. And the title I want to give to the sermon today is Joseph the Slave. Joseph the Slave. And I suppose verse 5 would encapsulate our text and what we want to say. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Joseph was indeed a remarkable individual, and we are of the opinion that he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at the life of Joseph, you can see evidence of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in him. If you're thinking at all, you may well be wondering, why did we read Ephesians chapter 5, for instance, to verse 18 to chapter 6, verse 9? What is the connection between Joseph and the slave and these verses that we have read? Well, as we look at Joseph the slave, we want to draw heavily upon certain sections that we find in that practical exhortation that Paul gives the Ephesians. He begins that section by saying to them to be filled with the Spirit. If we can just quickly remind ourselves of what he says in verse 18 of chapter 5 in Ephesians, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And we might ask ourselves what it is to be filled with the Spirit. I think we all know something of what it is to be filled with the spirit of alcohol. We can see the excess that it brings, how drinking alcohol to excess will ruin a person. It will ruin a person's reputation. It will ruin a marriage. It will ruin a home. It will ruin a person who's employed. The employer loses out. The economy loses out because of excess, because the person cannot do his work as he should because he's off. Our health service will suffer because people drink to an excess. Many people who will go to accident and emergency last night, for instance, will be there because of the excess of alcohol. We don't need to dwell on it. It's clear and it's evident. Anyone can see when someone drinks to an excess, it will affect all parts of their life, and it will be to the detriment. But Paul is using that as an illustration. He says, don't be filled with alcohol, with wine to excess. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And someone who's filled with the Spirit, it will be clear and it will be evident in their lives that they are filled with the Spirit of the living God. This is clear and evident from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was given the Spirit without measure, we're told. And as he performed all he did, and as he lived his life out for the 33 years or so, it was clear to everyone that he came in contact with, there was something unique and distinct and special about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, did he not say, "We know that thou art come from God, for no man could do these miracles except God be with thee." And others recognized his authority. And they recognized that He was a person who spoke the truth, regardless of how it offended people. It was clear and evident that the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit. Well, today we want to realize that when Joseph was in prison, it is clear and it is evident that he was filled with the Spirit also. You see, there are many people who believe in being filled with the Spirit. And of course, we believe in being filled with the Spirit. It's in the Word of God, and of course, we certainly believe it. But their evidence for being filled with the Spirit would be somewhat different to our evidence, or the evidence that we would accept, or the evidence that the Bible would suggest to us of one being filled with the Spirit. What do I mean? Well, people, many Christians, and we do believe they are genuine Christians, would believe that when you're filled with the Spirit, you must speak in tongues, or you must prophesy a word from the Lord, or you must perform some miracle or whatever. And they would major on the extraordinary gifts of the Spirit. And they would say to us, this is what it is to be filled with the Spirit. Well, we would go to the Bible, and we would go to what we have read in Ephesians. And when Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit, he gives instructions of what it's like to be filled with the Spirit and how the believer's home life and the believer's work life is transformed by being filled with the Spirit. In other words, friends, a believing husband who is filled with the Spirit will love his wife. And a believing wife who is filled with the Spirit will love her husband and be submissive unto her husband. And believing children who are filled with the Spirit will be obedient to their parents. And obedient, and or we should say, employees who are filled with the Spirit will be ones who are submissive, obedient to their employers. And they will be model employees. That's what Paul, that's how he defines being filled with the Spirit. It is seen in our everyday living, in our everyday occupations and callings. People will know and notice that we belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ and that we are filled with the Spirit by our everyday actions in the various callings and situations that we find ourselves in. This is surely clear here for Joseph. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. We spoke last week and we said this would not be an easy journey. It would have been a difficult journey, coming through the Sinai desert, a slave shackled, walking perhaps in chains, arriving at Egypt at a slave market, and someone comes along and buys him. Here he is. His freedom has been taken away from him. He's taken into Potiphar. And no doubt he was, as a slave in that house, he would be given the most menial tasks available. He would have been, as far as a slave life was concerned, he would have been at the very bottom of the heap. He couldn't speak the language. They could hardly communicate with him. It would be difficult to give him jobs to do, so he would get the most despised work in the home. What was Joseph's attitude? Joseph simply knuckled down. Joseph got on with his work as best as he possibly could. It's obvious he began to learn the language. Not for him to be resentful. Not for him to turn against his master. But he was one who was submissive in all things and looked at the situation. And he was determined to make the best that he possibly could of it. We don't know much about Joseph's devotional life. Joseph hadn't got the Old Testament. He hadn't got his own copies of the Scripture. He didn't have that luxury. He didn't have that wonderful blessing. But it's clear and it is evident by his life that he was in close communion with his God. He must have spent some time in prayer. He must have poured out his heart in prayer as he was suffering as a slave, as he would have been beaten for maybe not being able to do the task that was asked to him because he couldn't understand the language. He would have had times when he was on his knees before the living God. And he would have maintained this devotional life. And not for him to be resentful against his master, his earthly master, or indeed his heavenly master. No doubt his dreams were in his mind and he might think of them. What is happening to me? This is far from what I dreamt. This is far from what I thought. But he did not in any sense let his disappointments breed that they might become bitterness in his heart. He simply made the best of this opportunity, and he was a diligent individual. And as he was subject to all kinds of hardship, cruelty, and he would have been subject to seeing a lot of sin and a lot of temptation, he would have been with other slaves. And many of them would not be good. No doubt they would try to do whatever they could to get something from their master. They would steal, no doubt. But not Joseph. He was one who was filled with the Spirit of God, and he was determined to make the best of this situation that he found himself. So what is it then, friends, to be filled with the Spirit? Well, as Paul says in that passage we read in Ephesians, it is to praise the Lord. Now, we're not going to go off on a tangent here, but the person who is truly filled with the Spirit of God will praise the Lord. In hymns, spiritual songs, hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, this will be part of what it is to be filled with the Spirit of the living God, but it will also manifest itself in a life that is devoted to service and to serve whoever was their master at that particular time. And simply it means it is to live ethically, to live morally upright, to live in a way of righteousness in their marriage and in their home and in their work. And when you see someone who is truly filled with the Spirit of God, you will see that evidence in their marriage relationship, in their home life, and in their work. And it's particularly in the work situation that we see Joseph shining, filled with the Spirit of God. We had already seen him last week in his home life. There he was filled with the Spirit of God also as he conducted himself righteously in his home. As we go through the life of Joseph, we will see perhaps next week of how he was filled with the Spirit of God, and it was seen in his sexual life and how he was able to recoil temptation. Now we see it in his working life. And what wonderful evidence it gives here in these few verses that Joseph was truly filled with the Spirit of the living God. We take him in his workplace then. He would have been in the kitchen. It would have been hot. It would have been very, very difficult for him. But Joseph was one who knuckled down. And we're told clearly, evidently, that the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with Joseph, verse 2. Verse 3, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 5, our text again says much the same thing. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. According to what I read there, the Potiphar, the Egyptian, trusted Joseph with absolutely everything. And verse 6 would tell us, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And one commentator maintains that's a reference to Potiphar's religion, to his particular Egyptian religious ceremony. And it does seem that Joseph separated himself and would not have any part in that, save the bread which he did eat. That has probably got some religious connotations. And it does seem that Joseph said, I'm prepared to do all these things and look after all the things in your house so that you don't need to worry about anything, but I'm not going to get involved in this, whatever it was. Joseph would not defile himself with Potiphar's religious ceremony. And he left that to himself. But that was the trust that Potiphar placed upon this slave who was brought into his kitchen and who, as it were, rose up through the ranks because the Spirit of the living God was upon him, because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Well, friends, he was a slave, we might say. And we might say to ourselves, well, he had no option. He was bound. He couldn't get another job. He couldn't go anywhere else. He was tied. But as we have read that portion in Ephesians regarding slaves, do we notice, friends, that it also refers to those who are free also? The particular section that deals with slaves is found in Ephesians chapter 6, at verse 5 to verse 8. And the end of it, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now Joseph was a bondman. He was a slave. But the text here mentions also free. And that would cover employees. And therefore, the things that Paul writes about here and seeks to impress upon the Ephesians covers not just those who are slaves, but those who are employees. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Paul knew about fear and trembling. Every time he preached the gospel, it was with fear and trembling. Paul did not, in any sense, fear and tremble before his congregation or before his audience. Paul was a very bold man. Paul was very sound. Paul was highly intellectual, and he would be able to argue with any of those in front of him on an intellectual level. And therefore, he was not fearful of the people. But yet we are told that he preached the gospel, particularly when he went to Corinth, in fear and trembling. Why was it in fear and trembling? It was in fear and trembling because he recognized that he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, whenever he stood and proclaimed the gospel, he was a messenger of Christ. And he was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he recognized the glory of the great mission that was given to him and of the great person that he was serving, that he wanted to do what he did to the best of his ability. And therefore, it was in fear and trembling that he served the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way, friends, we are to do whatever we do. Are we employed? Then we are to serve our employers in fear and trembling. Not because we fear them, but because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want in any sense to take his name down by our activities and by our work. He goes on in that passage in Ephesians. Not with eye service as men pleasers. We all know what this is. People, when they're at work, they don't work as hard when the boss is not there. But when the boss turns up and when the boss is looking around, then everyone is industrious. Then everyone's head is down and they're on with their work. The moment the boss leaves, and they relax. This was not the way with Joseph. He could be left. And this is something that Potiphar noticed about him. You give Joseph a job, and if he understands what the job was, no matter how difficult it was, no matter how dirty it was, he would do it to the best of his ability. And the boss, Potiphar, could go away and come back and know that the job was done. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Whatever we do, friends, now I'm talking here about people working, but whatever we do, it's vitally important that we do it with all our hearts. Are we not servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he not worthy of our devotion? Are we office leaders? Whatever we do to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We don't do things because we have to. We do them because we belong unto Jesus Christ. And he is the one who has shown his great love towards his people, willingly, voluntarily giving of himself, giving that ultimate gift, redeeming us from an empty way of life, translating us from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of death, and bringing us into his glorious kingdom of light. Not with eye service, but as servants of Christ. What a wonderful thing to be called a servant of Christ. A servant of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. When Joseph was on the floor, sweeping the floor or wiping the floor or doing whatever he was doing, he was serving his God. How difficult that may have been for him. But his life shined and it transformed all around because he was filled with the Spirit of the living God. What we do then, do we do it wholeheartedly? Do we do it grudgingly? Do we do it reluctantly? You know, some people, we've seen it ourselves, maybe we've done it ourselves. Maybe it's when we've responded to a request from our parents, we've been asked to do something. Yes, we'll do it. No, we don't want to do it. That's not the kind of attitude that Joseph had. That's not the kind of attitude of someone who's filled with the Spirit of God. They will do whatever comes their way, and they will do it to the best of their ability, and they will do it with Christ before them. This is what motivates them. This is what inspires them. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul would tell us, and Joseph would show us, and of course our greater and ultimate example is the Lord Jesus Christ, whose meat and drink was to do the will of God. And that will would have been unpleasant to him. Let's be clear about it. He endured the cross, despising its shame. There was nothing pleasant about the cross. But he did it because he was filled with the Spirit of God and he wanted to obey his God. Christians then at work, or Christians involved in any kind of activity, whether it be paid or whether it be voluntarily, friends, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be ones who knuckle down, and whatever task in the providence of God is laid before us, let us put all our effort into it. And let us glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by our lives. This is so important, because this is quite remarkable. The Lord was with Joseph. Yes, that's true. But you know, pagan Potiphar, he could see this. This was clear. This was evident. Potiphar would have had a number of slaves. Slaves would have come and gone. Potiphar would have been used to see slaves in his own household and in other places. It was all part of Egyptian lifestyle. But here was one slave who was different. He stood out. He was distinct. Now, Potiphar would know nothing about the Spirit of God. He would know nothing about these things. But he could tell this man was completely and utterly different. I can trust this individual. I can accept him any task and he will do it. I don't need to worry about my money. I don't need to worry about my home. I don't need to worry about my possessions. Everything's in the control of Joseph. I utterly trust him. And you think, friends, this is remarkable. This is someone who's come from a foreign country, who couldn't speak the language. But now, Potiphar, this great man, an officer, the captain of the guard, he is trusting Joseph, because he sees there's something in this individual that makes him shine, that makes him so special. The point being, friends, here for us today is that Joseph's life witnessed to Potiphar. There's no evidence at all that Joseph spoke or sought to evangelize Potiphar or the slaves. Joseph's life spoke. Do our lives speak? This is important, friends. This is something that should be something we can all aspire to. We do live in times when it's difficult to pass on even a gospel tract. It's difficult to get people to come to church. To get them to come through the door is difficult. It's an almost impossible task to get new people to come in. Here was one filled with the Spirit of God. And Potiphar had to take notice. Joseph didn't use his time or didn't use his employer's time to evangelize. He simply did his work and let his actions speak for him. It's obviously clear then that Joseph did the best that he possibly could in his work. No half measures. We're not saying he was the highly skilled individual. We're not saying that for one moment. But whatever he was asked to do, he did to the best of his ability. And it's obviously clear, being filled with the Spirit of God, that Joseph must have been a pleasant individual to have around. No bitterness. No resentment. Times surely were difficult for him. He'd be wondering about home. And why am I here? What is happening? But all the time that he was in Potiphar's house, he was a pleasant individual. And all of these things contributed to demonstrate to Potiphar, this man here is something unusual and unique. But the most remarkable thing of all is not just that the Lord was with him, and not just that Potiphar recognized this. But friends, this is remarkable. This is what struck me. That the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Joseph was blessed. Potiphar could see that. But more than that, Joseph became a blessing so that Potiphar's house prospered when Joseph was there. This should seriously strike us. It should seriously cause us to engage in serious self-examination. Do we bring this blessing to those around us? We claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim, to some extent, to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Are we ones who bless others because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Joseph was in a most difficult, unique situation. And all of these things could easily have caused him to throw in the towel, as it were. But in that difficult furnace that he found himself in, he flourished, filled with the Spirit of God. And he was a blessing not just to himself, not just to be seen, but all of those round about him. They shared in this blessing. What are we told? And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Potiphar must have been truly delighted to have Joseph in his house. This is a difficult one for us to reconcile. You know, the early church, I think it's particularly after the occasion when Annas and Sapphira dropped dead. They both lied to the Holy Spirit, and as a result, they expired, dead. The Lord was obviously making an example of them. And the scriptures go on to tell us that no one dared join the church because of that. But the Lord added to their number daily such as should be saved. It's a difficult one for us. It's a difficult one to reconcile. Because it does seem clear that the early church, people said, well, we're not going to go there. You're found out lying and you'll drop dead. We're not going to go into that place. But the Lord was working. And he was drawing people. And they were compelled to come in. The Lord added to them such as should be saved. Are we a blessing? Do we have the aroma of Christ? Joseph had filled with the Spirit of the living God and living out his life on a spiritual level, on a spiritual plane, doing everything to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's one verse that really sums up all that I've said, and you'll find it in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. And at verse 29, where it says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." And how true that is or was in the life of Joseph. Diligent, controlled, motivated, filled with the Spirit of the living God, living out his believer's experience in a most harsh environment. And it was clear and it was evident that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord blessed him and all could see it. And that blessing, as it were, overflowed into Potiphar's house and into his field so that he was richly blessed by this Spirit-filled individual. Was he not diligent in his business, in his mundane, everyday chores? Was he not busy? He shall stand before kings. Well, he became the master of that house. And of course, we know what ultimately happened to Joseph. He shall not stand before mean men, no. Because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Friends, then, as we go out, as we seek to live out our Christian lives and experience, let us be filled with the Spirit of God. Let us be continually filled with the Spirit of God. And let us show that we are filled not by charismatic terms, but by being submissive and being captivated by the commands and exhortations of the Word of God. And it will be evident that the Lord is with us and He will bless us. And we hope and trust and pray that He will make us a blessing to all around. May God bless His word to us. Let us pray together.